guys, and welcome back for another episode of the Social Hour podcast, a podcast for sewists by sewists. I'm your host, Ashley.
And I'm your host, Bethany. And on today's episode, we're going to be talking about some of the latest, hottest trends and new tech coming into the sewing industry. I kind of geek out over this stuff, right?
Mm-hmm. And you got like an actual inside look at some of these things, because where did you go last week?
I was at the Husqvarna Viking convention for work. We throw these big conventions when we're launching one of our new top of the line machines. Mm-hmm. And the machine that we just launched has new tech in it that's first of the industry in its market of domestic home machines. So, I mean, we can definitely talk about that because mm-hmm. it is out now, which is really cool. And so it's just really cool that I get to kind of be a part of like that story. Right. And when we launch mm-hmm. those products,
well, what's exciting is that you have access to be able to see those things, but those things, they might be in the top of the line machines, but eventually yeah. those things will trickle down they to do. Like my price range, right?
Exactly. Like our top of the line machines. I mean, they're not cheap. You know, when the FOF Creative Icon 2 came out last year, we did a convention for it. And it had features like AI embedded. It has a camera embedded to identify the foot that you just attached or to even make sure you attached it correctly. It's got a camera for your embroidery for precise positioning. Like there's just some amazing things. There's grids for, you know, your quilting and your straight line mm-hmm. sewing and different stitches. And so there's a lot of cool stuff on the Creative Icon 2 by FOF. That came out last year. So a lot of those features have rolled over into our new Designer Epic 3, which is our new Viking top of the line machine. But then the Viking has some new tech that the FOF doesn't have. So they kind of go back and forth, even mm-hmm. though they're like sister brands, they kind of go back and forth with, we bring some of the top new features from the previous, you know, top of the line machine into the next one, but then we add to it and then that goes over to the next one, but then we add to it and we're always adding. And it's just, yeah. Like when you feel like they can't create something else, they blow my mind. And by they, I mean our R&D team, like our research and development team over in Sweden and even here in the US, they work very closely together. And the things that these engineers create mm-hmm. just blow my mind. And I have to yeah. say the new Viking Designer Epic 3 definitely blew my mind this past week. So.
Wow. There was one thing that I think you shared on your stories that I definitely want to talk about later, but we're going to leave that a little secret right now because this is, oh my God, this seriously, you know what I'm talking about, right?
Yeah. You know, it's interesting and I won't spill the beans yet, but that story I didn't get a chance to really share a whole lot while I was there. First of all, mm-hmm. cell service and Wi-Fi was spotty at best. So the fact that I was able to share some of that was a miracle. But that story that I posted, I think I received more DMs from that story than any story I've ever posted on Instagram.
Yeah. It would be game changing. Like, oh my God. Oh my God. Okay. So you went to Florida and let's start from the very beginning.
Well, let's start like 2 days before my trip. So something fun that they do at conventions is an educator's challenge. Mm-hmm. This is optional. It's for full-time educators. It's for our freelance educators. It's for people to participate. It's fun. The dealers and other employees that are there at the event, they get to vote on their favorites throughout the week. And then they announce the winners at educator night, which is usually the night before the last event of the convention. And so they're all out on display and I didn't get to participate during the FOF one. But then this time around, I chose to participate. It's optional, but they really do encourage us to do it because it's fun to just challenge yourself a little bit. Mm-hmm. So this year's challenge was to basically make your own fabric and then make something with that fabric. Or use a unique thing to create fabric. Some people may use, you know, made a clutch with a trash bag. No. Someone else made a bag with like the chocolate chip morsels. It was like the bag for chocolate chip morsels, but they mm-hmm. made a plush Cookie Monster coming out the top. Wow. It was the cutest thing. And then on the front, it had another small, like, embroidered Cookie Monster that looked like it was eating the cookie on the front of the chocolate chip bag. It was so cute. There was some wild ones. There was some, you know, traditional ones. There were some that followed the rules and some that didn't, you know? I mean, it's just everybody yeah. had their own interpretation.
Right.
One of my work besties, Meredith, she actually won the challenge. And it was funny because her and I were both working on our challenges together really late Saturday night before our trip on Monday, because we are notorious for doing things last minute. And we were both up until about 1:30 in the morning working on them together, like through Instagram messages and videos and chats and asking each other questions. Should I do this? Should I do that? And I was helping her. And so hers won. And I am so proud of it. So we'll put a picture up here for you guys to see it. But it's basically it's a tote bag made with like a faux leather, but she did what's called cutaway embroidery. So you stitch and the special needle cuts it out.
Oh.
And it stitches and cuts it out. It's wild. So it creates like she did these floral design. And then the flowers come out. So you have this big piece of faux leather with all these flowers cut out that are embroidered. Mm. And then she took thread, like a bunch of different rayon threads, and she matched them up together and did the whole thing like I did for my challenge with the layers of water soluble and stitched over them to create like a design that goes across the back behind the flowers. So the flowers almost look like stained glass windows through the faux leather. They were really cool. And then she made it into a beautiful tote. It was a lot of work. Originally she was just going to do like a book cover or notebook cover or something. And I was like, and she showed me her first few pieces and I was like, no, this needs to be a tote bag. And she had to go buy more material. And she's like, I can't believe I'm staying up till 1:30 in the morning doing this. It's all your fault. And I'm like, but you won. You can't be mad at me now.
Yeah.
You're welcome. Like, it was so good. She did a fantastic job. And she even put like a denim as the base of the bag. And it just in the top is like this tan leather. It just looks so good. The inside's a really pretty floral lining. She's got pocket in there. I mean, she did a fantastic job. So she definitely deserved to win. But for my challenge, sorry, I had to brag on hers because co-work is like, it takes a lot of time. So I was really impressed that she took it on, especially when I said, go bigger. Mm-hmm. But she was like, you're always pushing me. I was like, I'm always going to, but she does the same for me. So anyways, so for mine, I went garment route because that's just kind of like something I never get to sew for work. So this was kind of fun to get to do more garments. I wanted to create my own fabric using scrap material, but I wanted it to be intentional. So long story short, and I'll do my best to explain how I did it. I used a lot of water soluble stabilizer. So if you don't know what that is, it's basically a kind of like a mesh stabilizer. And when you put it behind and on top of a material, like a sandwich, and you sew over that material, both sides, like that sand, almost like quilting between it. And then you wash it away and it dissolves. And all that's left is the material that was in between and the stitches holding it together. Mm-hmm. And so I was trying to create that illusion of floating fabric scraps held together by just a few stitches. Mm-hmm. The challenge was I had to make enough of it to make a dress front and back. So I had this idea in my head and it took me 13 hours.
Oh my God.
Great. I did it all on Saturday. And I was really pleased with how it came out. I called it the Barbie dream dress because it's so scrappy and cute. But basically, I cut up a bunch of just quilting cotton, like solid colors. Like I said, I wanted to be intentional. I'd seen a video online of someone doing something similar to this in that method, but it was just really random and a lot of different materials. I really wanted to be intentional with it. So my dress fades from white at the top, like at the neck and shoulder, fades down to like a lighter pink and then a medium pink and then a really bright pink at the bottom. But it's all scrappy and you can see the kind of colors mixing and an ombre effect. Mm-hmm. And so on the backside, well, first on my table was the water soluble mesh. And then I cut out a piece of white mesh material in my pattern shape of the dress that I was using. So I ended up using the Ellie & Mac tea dress. Mm-hmm. And I just made it sleeveless because I needed to keep it very simple, a simple shape. And so I made the tea dress. So I cut that out with my mesh. So I did use a mesh to kind of support all of it. And I laid that out on top of the water-soluble stabilizer, multiple layers of it. And then I took all those little scrappy fabric pieces and I just started placing them in the ombre effect that I wanted. And I just kind of played with it. And then once I had them all in place, then I did another layer of water-soluble and I pinned all those layers together. And then I spent a lot of time sewing back and forth, every direction possible. I sewed until I felt like I had sewn well enough over all the scrappy pieces that none would fall off when mm-hmm. I washed it. Mm-hmm. Which was hard to tell because it's like sandwiched between the water soluble stabilizer that you can't see. It's like, you know, white, so you can't really see through it very clearly. So it's kind of a guess. And then the thread that I was using was a rayon, but it was like a iridescent. It almost felt like I was sewing with tinsel. So it would break a couple of times and I'd have to rethread. You know, it was just kind of a pain, but it was a really pretty pink. So all my thread stitches back and forth were pretty pink. Nice. So it was intentional, but it was a lot of work. And then I got done with that whole first piece, sewing it. And then I flipped it over on my cutting table and with my rotary cutter, I cut around the shape of the dress because from the backside, I could see the mesh of the actual shape of the dress because my pieces went off the mesh because I wanted to completely cover the mesh.
Right.
Once I cut out this piece, the dress shape for that one back piece or then one front piece, I surged all the way around it mm-hmm. just to like give myself a little peace of mind that it wasn't going to completely fall apart. And then the scariest part is throwing it in the washer.
Yeah.
I literally put it on a rinse and spin only. There was no detergent, no soap, just rinse and spin in the washer on cold. It washed it all away. And then I put it in the dryer. And it kind of gave all of the little scrappy pieces like life. They weren't laying flat anymore. They were coming up off the dress. Mm-hmm. It looked so cool. So all that was left was the mesh backing and all the scrappy pieces held onto that mesh with that tinsel thread.
Nice.
And then I had to repeat that entire process again.
And
for
you didn't win. Like, come on.
And I what?
You didn't win.
I know. Well, I mean,
was there a second place or in the third place?
Yeah, there was three places and honorable mentions. It's okay. Mm. It's not everybody's cup of tea, but there were some amazing pieces of work. So, you know, it's fine. I was really pleased with it. And then once I got the two front and back pieces made, I sewed the shoulders together. And then I used just a bias tape around the neck and the armholes.
Okay.
To finish them off because they were raw and I wasn't going to attach sleeves. So at that point I was like, I'm ready to be done. So I just mm-hmm. did bias tape around the arm holes and the neck holes to make it like a tank top. And it's just a simple crew neck, but the dress like comes in at the waist and then it flares out. And because this is actually a knit pattern by Ellie & Mac, because I took a stretchy mesh and sewed a bunch of cotton to it, it made it a woven material. And so I was like, well, I probably should have sized up because now this may not fit over my chest or my head or something. No, it fits perfect.
Oh, perfect.
I can put it on. I can wear it. But what's really cool is so that tee dress goes in at the waist and then it goes out at the sides and it normally kind of lays around the hips and it falls nicely. But when it's woven, it goes straight out like to a point on the sides and it gives it that really playful Barbie look
yeah.
and shape. And it holds that shape, which is super fun. I did not anticipate
like a paper doll dress.
Love it so much. And then for the bottom, I just folded up the end and hemmed it. But some of the pieces where they were, when I would fold it, they would just like kind of stick off. So there's some like raw kind of vibe to the edge without being completely raw. It looks super. I'm really pleased with how it came out.
Nice.
Would I spend another 13 hours doing one of those again? Honestly, maybe.
I mean, I think that was really, really fun. Cute to do something like that and then make like a bag out of it or.
Yes. I think I went a little big with the dress. That was, but that's just what I envisioned. And I have to say, like, as a visionary person who like, I knew exactly what it was going to look like when it was done. And I get it there. And I did. And so I was really pleased with the outcome, no matter how it did in the challenge, but I was really pleased with it. And, yeah. Mm-hmm. So we've got pictures floating through the screen here of all of these. I took some video. I'll, you know, if you go to my Instagram, I've shared a video of all the challenge pieces. So if you want to see everybody else's challenge pieces, there are some really cool ones. There's some that I still am like, I'm not really sure how they did that. Cause there's some very talented sewists in our group between our full-time educators and our freelance educators. There's some very talented people. So there's one that was like a painting and it was all stitching and it got second place.
Wow.
It looked so cool. So yeah, I mean, you can't compete with some of that, you know, like it's just, but I was pleased with how mine turned out.
Mm-hmm.
I like my little pink Barbie dream dress. So if you ever want to make your own fabric, you totally can.
Yeah. And that's a great idea for like when you literally have all those just tiny scraps for making a quilt or something like that.
Yeah.
Because what you pillow like that, right? Or something.
Yeah, you could actually piece it all together like that and then make like a quilted coat with it and line it. Like you could get real crafty with it. Mm-hmm. I have to say, if you've never played with water soluble stabilizer, I highly encourage you to pick up a little bit and play around with it. Whether you are using it for embroidery, like you can embroider on it and then wash it away and you're just left with your embroidery design. It's so cool. You can make some really cool lace that way, which is so neat. Diana sent us a video the other day. One of our new FOF ambassadors made a hair bow in a hoop and it was with water soluble stabilizer. Mm. And she stitched out the hair bow pieces and then washed it away and then folded it and made it, sewed it into the actual bow. And it's like a big, beautiful lace looking hair bow. It was all embroidery.
Nice.
You're just left with the stitches. It's just a really cool, creative, artsy way to play with sewing. But there's people who do free motion stitching and all sorts of other things, and you don't have to do it with just embroidery. So I encourage you to play around with it. Have fun with it. It's really cool.
I have not tried that ever.
Yeah. There's a lot of stabilizers, and that one's probably one of my favorites.
All right. So you had the contest.
Yes.
Which is super fun.
So
let's talk about your dress for a second there, because you actually made the dress that we talked about in the previous podcast, which thank you for
your pressure I needed to finally do it.
Yes, it was absolutely stunning.
Thank you.
My goodness. I loved it. So on you, everything.
I started sewing that dress together after I finished after 13 hours of doing the challenge project. So Saturday, I worked on the challenge project all day. Sunday, once I finished it, Sunday night, I immediately jumped into sewing up the bodice for this dress. Cause the night before I had done like a bodice, like muslin kind of version to just test the fit. And it was great. So I was like, okay, this is going to work. Now I can cut into the nice material, which is like this beautiful emerald green satin. That's got these florals, all over it. But big florals, but it's got this outline in gold on the floral. So it just had this like very elegant feel to it. And by the way, I got that fabric for 40% off at Hobby Lobby.
Mm.
I had to get 6 yards of it and to make this dress. Okay. It's like a floor length ball gown essentially. And I think my total was around $35 for the fabric. That's how much it cost me to make this dress.
Crazy.
You can't beat that. So anyways, I started working on the bodice Saturday night. I got the bodice put together and then I got the skirt pieces sewn together. And then like And then the next day, it took me like an hour and a half just to hem the skirt.
Yeah.
Because it's like fabric. It took forever. I was like, Ashley, I'm still hemming. I don't know if I'm going to find the other end of this skirt. She's like, are you kidding? It's been 40 minutes. It's like, and it's satin too. So it's just like, oh my God, I just want to be done hemming.
It's a woven, right? So like it has to be hemmed.
Well, and it's satin and it's slippery. And yeah. I seam taped all the way around it to hold it in place. And then I folded it up again. And clipped it. So I couldn't steam it. I couldn't press it. You just have to seam tape is like your friend when you sew with satin.
Right.
And my machine, I used my Pfaff to sew it because it has a built-in walking foot called the IDT system. And so it helps you be able to feed that kind of material evenly through the machine. So I just took my time, a lot of patience. That was my Sunday morning. I got it all hemmed and then I attached the skirt to the bodice. What was wild though is the dress was meant to have an invisible zipper that went from like the side seam from like under bust all the way down into like the hip. But the way that the dress fits, it's meant to be more like square at the waist, like kind of not hug the waist, but be more square. And it fit without the zipper. And
that's awesome.
I don't mind putting in invisible zippers, but I wasn't really looking forward to putting an invisible zipper in on satin.
Yeah.
So I was like, well, if it fits, I don't really need it.
Mm-hmm.
And then I decided to take it in about half an inch on each side, just at the waist. It was like a 3-inch little area just to give it a little more curve at the waist to be a little more fitted there. And it still fit without needing the zipper. So I was like, well, we're not doing a zipper.
Yeah.
But I have to say, I was really pleased with how it came out. And then, by the way, this was a Ditto dress called it's the Anastasia dress on Ditto. So it's a Ditto pattern. I projected it with my Ditto. And it's a huge circle skirt. It's like a 3-piece circle skirt. And the front is like, it's a high-low skirt. So the front came like right at the knee or right below the knee. And then it scooped down and had a train. And so I was very pleased with how it turned out.
Yeah.
Everybody loved it. I really loved how it came out. I don't know any other occasion that I would wear it again other than like just because I feel like wearing it around my house or something, but it's really pretty.
Or something, I'm sure.
I don't know. Right? I mean, like, I don't ever go to weddings. Like, my friends are married or done with that. So.
Yeah. Never know, I guess.
You never know. I don't know. I'll find a reason. But I was really pleased with how it came out.
New Year's party.
Maybe.
Yeah.
I usually spend my New Year's at home in my recliner with my dogs.
Yeah, you can wear it in the recliner.
Low key. I can wear it in my recliner. I have to say it was a very comfortable dress. The only thing was like we were in a big, I wore it for opening ceremony of the convention, which was Wednesday night. So I traveled out Monday. Monday was travel day. Tuesday was crash course on the new Viking machine because we have to teach our dealers, and the dealers are who come to our convention. And then Wednesday evening, we had our opening ceremony. It's this big production. The whole thing was like themed. There's no business like so business. And so that was part of the reason why I chose to go so dressy is because it was a very like a dressier kind of ceremony event. And everybody dressed up. Everybody looked fantastic. It was so fun to see your coworkers, like, not in jeans.
Yeah.
For once. And everybody just looked so nice. And it was a great show. And I was very proud of the fact that I was on brand with our Ditto. You know, like, well, I was the brand.
Did anybody else make a Ditto dress?
Yes. Amanda, our Ditto educator, mashed up a top and a skirt to make her own dress. And then she used like mesh and made her own material for the top. So it was like a little like lines of fabric over mesh. So you could see through it a little bit at the top. It was beautiful. So I was not the only one that made a Ditto garment, but I was very happy about how it came out. So
I know it looked really good.
Thanks. We took lots of pictures and videos and it's over on my Instagram, but it was a fun one. The only thing is my train kept getting stepped on.
Oh, from other people?
We were walking. It's like, there's a lot of people. There's like 500 or 600 people. So when you're walking around, and we're all kind of like being shuffled out the door, you know, to, but while they set up for dinner or whatever, I was getting stepped on, and because it's such a light material, people didn't realize they were stepping on my train. And I was like, whoa, I was just waiting for someone to split my dress, like from the skirt from the bodice, but no, it didn't happen. So
that's good.
Yeah, it's great. It's hanging in my closet so I can still look at it. Every time I open my closet, it's right there. And I'm just like, oh, so pretty. But anyways, was my weekend before my trip. I made two huge garments. Yeah,
that's crazy.
I've never made a floor-length dress before.
I think sometimes, though, like, we just, like, this is what we want. But then when it, like, comes down to the wire, then, like, we just have that, like, that push. And it's just like, okay, let's just do it. Because, you know, I'm very much like that. Like, I'm just like...
I do work well under pressure.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, if it means I'm up till 2 a.m. like Saturday night, that's fine. And then I'm up early the next morning to pick up where I left off. Mm-hmm. But I have to say, I got the dress done faster than I thought I would. And
yeah,
I was like, okay, what do I do with this extra time? Do I make something else? Like, I didn't know what to do. And I was like, no, you're going to relax. You're going to go pack your suitcase. You're not going to stay up really late. I still did.
Yeah.
Anxiety of travel always. I mean, I was gone for a whole week. So it was a very long trip, but it was fun. It was a lot of fun. So.
All right. Well, let's get into some of the things that you
saw.
Yeah, that are going to be something that we might see in stores. What did we learn?
So I think for me, the biggest wow factor was the Designer Epic 3 that we launched. I had a part in this machine.
I made it, yeah.
Oh my gosh. No, not at all. We as a collective company, our R&D team, our developers, like our software people, like they reimagined the embroidery unit. For the domestic machines. So we're used to, and I'm going to pull this one off of this machine that I have sitting next to me, which is our new Singer embroidery machine. I'll just hold this up. We're used to embroidery arms like this attaching to the machine in this manner.
Okay.
The new Viking Epic 3, Designer Epic 3, does not do that. It sits next to the machine.
Oh,
it doesn't attach like this. And what that does is it leaves this area exposed on the machine. So you have your free arm area and you can actually embroider in the round on a domestic machine.
Like a sleeve or like pant leg
or a baby onesie or a tote bag.
Oh my God.
Yes.
That's amazing.
There is no other domestic embroidery single needle machine on the market that you can free arm embroider on until now.
Wow.
So it's wild because, first of all, the embroidery unit, the one that I just showed you, is so small compared to the one that's on this Designer Epic 3. These machines are huge in the sense of, like, you have the whole sewing machine and then you have a whole nother embroidery arm next to it. So when you set these up at home, you kind of just leave that arm there.
Yeah.
And it has a little, on the side of the machine at the bottom, it has a little tray that pops out and that's where it sits and connects electronically. So it doesn't have to go into and around the sewing arm of the machine. And that's how you leave that exposed. Now, if you're not going to sew in the round, there is another piece that goes over that and covers it. And then on top of that, on the front and back of the machine, if you're using the mega turnable hoop, which is the largest hoop on the market right now for domestic machines, there's wings that you can attach to the front and back of the machine coming off both sides to support the size of this hoop. Hmm. It is massive. And I mean, I don't remember the numbers off the top of my head. But let's just say that I watched two grown adults, put this hoop over their body together. Embroidery hoop.
Wow.
Like a hula hoop. It was that big.
Yeah.
Wear it. And so it's a massive hoop. So they have these like kind of wing supports for when you do use it, you attach those as well. But I mean, it's just a really cool, really cool machine. And then they have a new hoop where the hoops attach differently too. So we're used to hoops. I'll hold this one up. We're used to hoops like this that like slide into the embroidery arm with this mm-hmm. piece, and they kind of push it in and it clips in place, and then you hold it and you pull it out. These, it instead of sliding in and out of the embroidery arm, they just snap into place. So you just set it right on top and it just snaps into place, and then you pops right out. Like, you can take the hoop on and off with just one hand. Because of that, we have one that is, you can basically flip the hoop over. So you have an attachment on this side and you have an attachment on this side. And that's for when you do felting or bobbin work. So you can embroider on both sides without having to re-hoop. So when you do felting, wow. you do it from the opposite side of the material, and it comes out the right side of the material, but it's underneath. And after you felt, you can just flip the whole thing over and embroider right on top of the right side, right on top of the felt, and you don't have to rehoop. And I know that's kind of hard to envision because not a lot of people do felting, but those who do, it's a game changer.
Mm-hmm.
But to not have to rehoop and try to get your embroidery to line up with your felting is pretty amazing.
Oh,
so I'm telling you, it's just a game, like the things you can do.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I didn't know some of this existed till I started working for this company. And you don't until you can really get hands-on experience with some of these machines. And that's what we train people to do all week, was how to use the machines, the new software, the new features, the new embroidery arm, in the hoop embroidery. And when you do in the round embroidery, mm-hmm. we have a different hoop for that, because now we need our material to hoop kind of opposite as it normally does. So the connection for the embroidery arm is on the top inside piece of the hoop. And so it's a little backwards, but you get the hang of it and it works great. So it's just really, really cool to see all of this technology.
Evolving. I mean, I'm not an embroiderer person,
but when you hear me talk about it like that, though, doesn't it make you go, gosh, I wish I could try that? Or that sounds so cool. Like,
it does. Like, to be able to do in the round, I feel like that would just people are going to freak out when they hear that. Cause that's
And because the embroidery arm is so big, like that space is big and you have a lot of room to work with. Mm-hmm. There was someone that actually embroidered in an entire length of a trouser, like all the way down the side of a pant. So they started at the bottom and worked all the way up to like the knee. And then they went and started at the waist and worked all the way down to the knee. And they embroidered all the way down the side of a pair of trousers.
Wow.
Could have never done that before without taking seams out.
Yeah.
And having to sew the pants back together.
Well, that's what I'm thinking, right? Like, to be able to do like a cuff or something on maybe a shirt that you already have. Like, you don't want to take apart the shirt that you bought from the store.
Exactly.
So that's what that just
or
like,
baby
you know,
onesie.
Jeans
maybe
or
you
something.
Buy a baby onesie and you just want to be able to
put
do
like
a little
cute
onesie.
Little something. Yeah.
Yeah. And, you know, you can incorporate applique into embroidery. Mm-hmm. So you can use your embroidery machine to stitch around the material, and then you clip it, and then it'll satin stitch. So it does all the applique for you. So
See, this is why I need one. And I didn't feel like I ever needed one until like recently, when I was just like seeing people put like designs on the front of their bags and stuff. Like,
yeah.
Oh.
Now, if you're doing it on stuff like that, like the things that you see, like Elizabeth and Kasaya doing, they've got like an 8 or 10 or 12 needle embroidery machine mm-hmm. to do those big, like through those materials. But we did embroider through a very thick, like faux leather at convention with my name, and it did a beautiful job. So that machine can handle it. Mm-hmm. I don't know about some of the smaller embroidery machines. You'd have to kind of test it, but carefully. Yeah. But just, you know, if you're shopping around for a machine that can sew through those kind of like leathers and vinyls and stuff, you may want to have that conversation with your dealer to make sure that that machine can handle that material with embroidery.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it may just be something as simple as like using a titanium embroidery needle versus a regular embroidery needle. You know, those kind of things you have to think about, slowing right. down the speed of it too, you know, right. that kind of stuff. But no, I mean, it's possible. It's totally possible.
Mm-hmm.
Really cool. I have a lot of fun with it. And I'm just starting to scratch the surface with embroidery with the new Singer SE9180, which I got to teach classes on. This is nice. My first time teaching classes at convention. So I was a part of the What's New class. So we went through several different segments and about 5 different speakers talking about all the new things that are coming out with the Viking, with our notions and stabilizers, with the new product coming out next year that I'm excited about, mm-hmm. which we'll talk about later another day. But and then I got to introduce the new Singer embroidery and sewing machine. And what's really cool about this machine, it's the first Singer machine to ever be Wi-Fi enabled, meaning we have our MySewNet embroidery software embedded into the machine. So you can access the entire library, your cloud of designs. You can send designs straight to this machine. It's just, we That's have awesome. That feature in our Viking and Fof lines, but to mm-hmm. now have it in Singer, it just, at a price point of under $1,000. So like it's just, you know, amazing to be able to offer that to our customers, to be able to start embroidery. Like, you don't have to have one of these big fancy machines mm-hmm. to do embroidery. This thing actually does. I've been doing a lot of stuff with it.
Yeah.
And I have one of the big fancy machines.
So. I mean, you just embroidered on paper, didn't you? Just the other day.
I embroidered on cardstock, and that project is our November project of the month. And I just thought it would be cool to like show it on something other than fabric, because that's kind of mm-hmm. where our minds always go to. A lot of people get into embroidery because they're like, oh, I want to monogram everything.
Yeah.
And it's like, okay, well, that's fun.
I want to put a flamingo on everything.
Yeah. Actually. But after a while, you're like, okay, what else can I do with this? So I'm trying to get people to think outside the box. And so I'm put people's names on cardstock, and they're just like pre-made, you know, cards that I had. Mm-hmm. But I did use some fabric to kind of give it some color and like make it fun. But yeah, I embroidered through the cardstock, and then you fold them and you can make them like place cards at your Thanksgiving or Christmas table. And you can write a little note in there to each person that's coming over to your home and just be like, you know, I'm thankful for you because, you know, something that they can have that's for them to take home, you know, and keep mm-hmm. and cherish. So I thought it was a sweet little project of the month. So that'll mm-hmm. be out in November. So go check out Singer's YouTube channel and our website for that, because that was a fun one to do. I always like to challenge myself. I also embroidered on burlap.
Oh, yes, yes. Because
I made ornaments.
Candace was so...
I know.
Like, she was so like, oh my God, I can't believe she actually did what I did.
If it wasn't for Candace, I probably would not have tried it. I'll be honest. It just, I don't really think about burlap a whole lot, but... But I saw her Halloween yard flag, spooky flag that she had embroidered on when we did our DIY home decor for Halloween and fall. And I was like, okay, that's super cool. Now I want to embroider on burlap.
Mm-hmm.
And so when I was creating our December project for my Michael's live Zoom class, I was like, well, we were going to do some sort of personalized ornaments or embroidered ornaments. And I was like, well, why don't I just embroider on burlap?
I loved how that turned out. Yeah, I did. That was so cute. I wanted
They were really easy too. It was not hard to embroider on. I even got in burlap that has like some gold threaded through it from Hobby Lobby. So like it has like a Christmassy vibe.
Mm-hmm.
And once I embroidered on it, little Christmas presents that were built into there was a design built into this machine, the Singer machine. Then I put the material through like one of those decorative kind of wooden embroidery hoops and used that to hang it with a piece of ribbon and stuff.
That'd be so cute for like personalized ornaments.
You could do one for every Christmas year
or something. Yes, it'd be so cute.
Super cute.
I love that idea. And that's why I need.
Go ahead.
I could put a flamingo on them and put in.
You could do a flamingo wearing like a Santa hat the year.
Oh, see,
and
this
some
is why.
Snowflakes. I'm going to convince you.
I don't have room for more.
This Singer one is actually small. It's really, even with the embroidery arm attached, it's a small.
Yeah, and it's available in Canada.
It is. It sold out and now it's back in stock. So
it sold out.
It did. It just came out and it sold out so quickly, which is awesome. As it should. It's an amazing.
Maybe it'll be on sale this November.
We'll see. I don't know because it just came out.
She knows, I guess.
I don't know because it just came out. So I don't know if they'll do.
That's true.
I don't know. I don't get to make those calls.
But something else is on sale though, right? What just came down again? The price.
The Ditto. The Ditto's on sale. Limited time. So when this podcast airs, it may not still be on sale. I don't know how long.
But it still came down though pretty good.
It did. It did. Yeah. And you know, you may see that again before the holidays. I'm not really sure.
Black Friday. You know, maybe.
I'm not privy to when the deals are coming. I just know when they're here. So like you guys do. So if you're ever curious about when those things happen, I highly encourage you to sign up for the Singer newsletter because that's when you're going to find out when our machines go on sale, the Ditto goes on sale, Sewing Notion, stabilizers. We're bringing new stabilizers in as product line. So, you know, if you're ever in the market, that's the best way to keep up with it. I have people message me all the time. I'm like, I really don't know.
Yeah.
And if I think I know, they could change it because of inventory or what's available. It can change very quickly. So I don't like to say it because I don't always know firsthand. Mm-hmm. So that's a different team, different department.
Okay. So I want to hear about the future.
The future. What,
yes.
Okay.
Let's hear.
So the thing that got the most DMs.
Yes.
All the DMs.
Oh my goodness.
So, I mean, I told you guys that our R&D team, they think big.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they just reconfigured how an embroidery arm attaches and works with a domestic machine that no one's ever done before. And now it's going to be like the future of embroidery, right? Like it's wild. It is wild. And so they are the type where we get to have conversations with them. We get to have like brainstorming sessions. I've been invited to those a couple of times because they want to hear like, what is a pain point for a sewist or what is a challenge that you have? What would make your life like, and they push us to think big. Like if it sounds impossible, go further with it. Like, it's not just, can you solve this problem? It's, can you eliminate it and make my life like never need that ever again? So that's kind of what they did with this prototype. They always bring in prototypes, which is cool at these conventions. Sometimes it's bringing in a machine that looks very futuristic, made out of unique materials, things that may or may not ever really come to fruition. But this one this year, I felt like I could see it being a future machine. And they called it the Designer Epic 7. So we just launched the 3.
Oh, wow.
So it's a little ways away if this were to be possible. But I do know after talking with them that they are actively working on finding ways to eliminate the bobbin.
What?
The bobbin. That. You know, the one thing that we are always like getting frustrated with, because if it's not getting jammed, if it's not getting in the tension disc, if it's not, you know,
you're sewing for like 10 minutes and you realize the bobbin was out.
And you lose the game of bobbin chicken. Yeah. You know, I mean, we've all been there multiple times. Just to know that there's a possibility that that could no longer be necessary.
And you could put like a decent sized spool. Like you're going to use the spool that you put at the top of the machine, the same spool for the bobbin.
So basically,
they would both run out kind of together.
Nope. Actually, there's going to be a spool. So this is their prototype. This obviously could change, but this is how their prototype was laid out and their thought process. And they do these and they show them to the dealers and to the sewists and everybody in these situations because they want their feedback. Mm-hmm. Do you feel like this could work? You know, like what problems could arise with this solution? You know, like
no we problems think- actually. There's something to say.
Well, so let's put it this way. There's a thread at the top of the machine that we're used to having there. Okay. Yeah. But it actually threads it for you.
Oh.
So it would be a sewing machine. You know, I have an air threader for my serger, but I still have to like thread it through the tension disc and put it in the little hole and push the button. And I still have to thread the two needles by hand. This top one would thread the entire machine top thread for you. You literally just take the thread end, put it in whatever little hole and shoop,
wow,
threads the machine for you. So then you know that it's threaded correctly, and it's constantly pulling from that top spool. Mm-hmm. Then in the middle of the machine, so we're used to having like a whole side of the machine that's like kind of like where the motor and the components go, or the touch screen is there, you know, all the buttons are there. The dials for mechanical machines are on that right hand side. So instead of that being there, it's hollow all the way through the machine. And behind there is another spool below the top one. So the top one's here, and then here's the sewing surface, and over here behind that front panel is the bobbin spool. So instead of a bobbin casing, like a bobbin casing that we're used to seeing, where we have to wind a bobbin and then stick it in where the needle is, you're going to put another spool in that lower spool holder over here on the right, and it's going to also thread for you and feed directly into the bobbin in the machine. So at where the needle plate is and the sewing plate is and the foot, there is no bobbin casing. There's right. No bobbin spool. There's no, none of that.
Wow.
Yeah. Isn't that wild?
And that means that there's like.
And then you don't have to worry about running out because you have two full spools, one for your top thread, one for your bobbin, and you can see it the whole time.
Yeah.
So
if you run out while you're like in mid sew, like
you've been sewing for a hot minute on that spool of thread.
Yeah.
Yeah. So how crazy is that? Could you imagine? That is,
oh, yeah. I can't even imagine.
They dream big. They think big. And then the other component is this machine had no buttons and features right on the machine. It had a little line slot across the top, a slot across the top, and that's where your tablet could go. Mm-hmm. And it all connected through like an app.
Yeah.
And you know, the machine is sewing, you could just pick up and like walk off with your tablet to like do something else and come back, but it's still running the machine.
Okay. And nowadays, like everything seems to be going in that direction. Like the crickets, you know, those types of machines, like
everything's Wi-Fi enabled or Bluetooth connected.
An app, and you just kind of. Yeah. And that would be cool though, because then you could plan out your projects and stuff like that. And then.
Yeah, so now you see why I got so many DMs and even people messaging me. They were like, oh, that looks so futuristic. And I'm like, but did you see the part where there's no bobbin? And they were like, what?
Yeah. Well, they just automatically are like, oh, you had a double needle. I knew exactly. I was just like, oh my goodness. I could just.
Yeah, they kind of blew all of our minds.
Makes me wonder, has no other companies like ventured down that path? I wonder.
I'm sure they do. And there's a lot of things that we dream about that may never come to fruition. I'm really hoping this is one of those things that does, because I feel like it would be another game changer. But I mean, we just launched a machine that has an embroidery arm that connects unlike any other embroidery arm in its field.
It's very, very likely.
If we can do that and disrupt the industry with that.
Yeah.
And that's a whole embroidery arm. Okay. And that embroidery arm is a smart embroidery arm. So usually when you connect an embroidery arm to the machine and the machine needs to do an update, you know, like software update, it updates everything. Right. But the embroidery arms don't typically need software updates. Right. They're their own, like just connection piece. This new Designer Epic 3, the machine has software updates and the embroidery arm has its own software updates because it's a smart arm. Like it's got its own software embedded. So when you connect it to the machine, it'll do both updates for you. And so it's wild that they are still developing and adding and twerking and making it better through these. It's not just a freestanding embroidery arm. Mm-hmm. It's a smart arm. It's wild.
Well, hopefully.
I geek out over this stuff.
It's so cool. And it's just to see where this is going. Mm-hmm. The machine, the technology, and just, you know, the ease of use. That's the whole goal, is just to make it easy for people to be able to eliminate the hard stuff and just be able to focus on learning to sew.
Well, it's huge. I think a lot of people, and I've had this conversation so many times, a lot of people are like, I just like the mechanical machines because there's not computer components. It's not overwhelming and all this stuff. And I have to agree to disagree because when I sit in front of a computerized machine and I set it to a zigzag stitch, it makes my settings for me.
Right. Yeah.
Like, and same with like a straight stitch or a decorative stitch. First of all, I have more features that I can use, but on a computerized machine, but it takes the guesswork out of it. It gets you to the sewing process faster and more successfully because you're not having to remember to change your tension, change your thread, change your, you know, width or length or whatever. I mean, it does it all for you at the push of a button. Whereas the dials, okay, well, I set it to a zigzag, but now I got to remember to change the stitch width and the stitch length and maybe even my tension, like all these other things. And then you just hope that you set it right. And you have to remember every single time.
You need to remember to put it back too.
Yeah, exactly.
At least when you turn off your machine, your computerized, and you turn it back on, it just kind of goes back to center.
But I think for me, like there's features on a computerized machine, even just a basic computerized machine that I love, like the scissor snips.
Yeah.
That cuts my thread for me. The needle up down button. That's a huge thing, especially when you're having to make a hard point, like a corner turn. Just being able to control the speed of the machine so it doesn't get away from you. That's another feature that you do not take for granted. maybe it's a little intimidating for some, but once you go, I always tell people, once you go computerized, it's really hard to go back to mechanical. And I sew on all of them because of my job, and I don't mind sewing on mechanical machines. But if I have a choice, I'm going to reach for the computerized first.
Yeah. My mom had a mechanical because that's all there was.
Yeah.
So I didn't want to go back there. It was hell. It was not fun.
I remember when I first switched from a mechanical machine to a computerized machine, and I was just like, it's quieter.
Yeah.
It's a little smoother. It like does all the work for me. Like I just have to sew. Like it just, like I said, takes the guesswork out, built my confidence in sewing, right? Like it just made it easier.
Yeah.
So I don't know. If you are diehard mechanical, I am here for you. But if you are open to the idea of trying a computerized machine, I encourage you to do so. Watch the videos, learn about them, sit in front of them. You know, go to a dealer, sit in front of them, play around with them. You'll find that you get the hang of it real quickly. If you can figure out how to use an iPhone or a tablet or a laptop, a computerized sewing machine is a walk in the park. Yeah, absolutely. Sure. Absolutely. So with that being said, Ashley, what is your like dream, like wish list item to like have in your sewing room, sewing machine? Like, is there something that you wish like technology could impact your sewing experience?
Oh my.
I'm going to tell you mine.
Because
I've told this to my
R&D team. Like I already, well, I mean, I would love to experience an air threader.
Yeah, but that exists.
And I don't have that.
That exists. That's, and that's
yes, it exists. It doesn't for. Exist in my world, but I, oh gosh, that's something that I need to really think about.
I know.
I don't know.
Well, listeners, if you have something that you feel like, I wish the sewing industry could help me with this or help me with that, like leave a comment on our YouTube video or, you know, whatever. I mean, just, we want to hear from you about it because it gets the ball rolling. Like those conversations, you know, those pain points, a pain point for me may not be a pain point for you, but maybe it's not even a pain point. Maybe you just want to elevate your sewing experience. Where is technology being elevated in other aspects of your life that you would like to see it come into your sewing space, your sewing experience, your sewing journey? I'll tell you mine. So when one of these brainstorming sessions, we were talking about like how we can elevate like the AI experience. And they really were pushing us to like think big. And I said, okay, here's what I would like to envision. Like, we have smart homes, or I can walk into someone's home that's a smart home, not my home, but some, I've been in some of these homes where they can say, and if you have a device with a certain name that starts with an A, I am going to say it now. So if you want to mute yours, this is your chance to do so before I set off your device. Okay. And then you come into your room and you can, you know, say, Alexa, turn on the kitchen lights. Alexa, preheat the oven to 350. Mm-hmm. You know, I hope I didn't turn just someone's oven on in their house. Anyways, but I'm just saying, like, that already exists.
Yeah.
How can I make that function in my sewing room? So I told him, I said, you know, how cool would it be? Because I go into my sewing room every day for work, for pleasure, for my own hobby. And I can go into my space and I open the door and I say, Alexa, good morning to my sewing room. Please set up my space to work today. And my iron turns on, my machines turn on, my lights turn on, and Alexa can tell me what's on my to-do list. What projects am I working on today?
Mm-hmm.
Where did I leave off yesterday? You know, like, it's an interactive experience, and maybe it's not with Alexa. Maybe it's with our own AI device, but that's just because people are familiar with that one. I'm using it as an example. But I mean, that's kind of what I'm thinking, is like my space comes to life by the command of my voice.
Yeah.
And it works for me. It helps me keep up with what I have, what I need. Alexa, I want to sew this dress with a navy blue rib knit. Do I have any in my stash?
Mm.
Yes, you have 3 yards of it, and it lives over here on your shelf. You know, like that. Like, if I put in the information, it can help me keep up with that kind of stuff. Like, Alexa, let me know when I'm running low on elastic, or, you know, those kind of things. Like, I can see it really impacting at that level one day.
Yeah.
And, you know, when we look at these Alizo irons that we have now that stand up and down at the touch of our hand, and all these kind of things, I feel like we're not that far off from some of these things really implementing technology at that level. And it's not for everybody, but I am here for it. I am here for it. Like, I already have that device in my sewing space. I can connect it with my FOF Creative Icon 2 machine that I have. I can tell Alexa to search embroidery designs on my machine. I can tell Alexa to set my machine to a zigzag stitch with a 3 millimeter width and a 2 millimeter length, or whatever I want. I can tell Alexa to do things on my sewing machine already. Like, that already exists.
Yeah.
But how do we expand that to the entire sewing space and all lines of products, right? Like, I wanted to be able to
have an app for that. There's got to be an app for that.
That's Alexa.
Yeah, exactly.
It just needs the software and the device to be able to connect. So if it's Wi-Fi enabled, it's there.
Mm-hmm.
So it's already in the industry. I can already use Alexa to tell my machine to do things, which is cool. And it's just the starting point. So after we launched that last year, we've had conversations about, okay, how do we take it to the next level? How do we make it better? How do we push the boundaries of this and challenge the industry? And that's what they keep doing. And it's just fun to be a part of the conversation. It's fun to see it firsthand. It's fun to walk through the office and see their demos and models and 3D prints of things. It's always something new. And I don't know. I don't take what I do for granted by any means.
Mm-hmm.
So we'd love to hear from you. What is your wish list? What is your dream? Maybe I struck an idea.
I would need to think more about
eliminating the bobbin has already blown most people's minds.
that would solve every problem of my life. I feel like it'd be like, you know, oh, I couldn't pay this bill, but at least I don't have bobbins anymore.
My kid's talking back to me, but at least I don't have to worry about the bobbin.
Exactly. Like, I just did that the other day where I was just sewing along doing a top stitch, and it really bugged me because it was like a top stitch where, like, I had to like pin. And I'm taking the pins out.
Oh,
so then I have to go and re-pin everything again because I, you know, like.
It gets away from you.
Yeah, I know.
Well, now that I have.
You have a bigger bobbin. Like, just make it bigger. Like, yeah. Like my industrial has a bigger bobbin.
Yeah.
And apparently the
thread is thicker and I feel like it really doesn't hold that much more.
But not all industrials have bigger bobbins.
Mm.
Even though the thread's thicker.
Yeah.
So why is they could make that one bigger. Why can't they make that one bigger?
Yeah. I don't know.
I want to talk to you about Project Primrose and if you saw that video.
Oh gosh. Yeah. So this is that digital fabric.
Yeah. It's been floating around. People have been sending it to me. And I'm not so sure. Did you notice that the back of the dress wasn't done though?
I mean, people are really only looking at the front, so I kind of get it. But I think it's I don't know if you can sew through it. It's some sort of tiling kind of something on the front.
She made that herself.
Yeah. And I mean, it was a cute, simple dress. I mean, it's just as she moved the dress, the material changed. So it wasn't really changing color, which I feel like would have been cool if it really changed the whole color of the dress.
Vibrant colors or something.
Yeah.
Right?
Or just if it even had at one point it had fishies swimming through, you know, or something like that, it looked underwater, that would have been cool. But it was really more of just a abstract design kind of change in a very subtle tone. I mean, it's cool. It's it's a step in the right direction of pushing the boundaries of technology to materials that you're not used to seeing it on. So seeing that in fabric, seeing that in the sewing industry, it's just exciting, you know? Mm-hmm. Do I think I'll ever get to the point where I'm making a quilt with that and my whole quilt changes every time I move it? You know, I don't know. Maybe one day down the road.
Bluetooth enabled.
I can make it.
Change the pattern from the other room while you're
season. You don't even have to sew a new quilt. You just put a new image on it. So one day it's your fall quilt, and next day it's your Christmas quilt.
That'd be cool. I would like that.
This is how you think outside the box, right? This is where that kind of conversation comes from. But it starts with something as simple as this primrose dress, right?
Yeah.
And thinking outside the box and pushing the limits of technology into materials that it doesn't normally live. And that's where we continue to see this growth. Mm-hmm. For me, it's exciting. Maybe it was that wasn't super overwhelming here or anything, but I thought it was cool because I look at okay, where is that going to lead us?
Yeah.
Who's going to take it to the next step, to the next level? Think bigger. Mm. I mean, if you made a quilted wall hanging out of that, you could have it rotate through your family's photos right there on your wall, like a picture frame, but it's quilted material.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, what I think of. That's not necessarily a dress I'm going to wear that would shift and change, but being a piece of art in my home that I made, but still changes. It's not the same every day. So I don't know.
Yeah.
Now that I said that, does it make you think about it differently?
No.
You're still meh, take it or leave it.
I don't know where this could, I just, in my mind, I'm maybe just dumb.
You've already ruled it out for you.
My brain doesn't expand as much, but I'm just I don't know what this would do for me. I just don't understand.
If you made it into a blanket and it got to change into a
paper, it wouldn't be blue. Cozy. It looked like a shell.
Yeah. I don't know. I didn't get to see the material up close or
No, yeah, there was nothing like that.
So, I mean, that's obviously a variable. It may not be something that you want to snuggle with. But I think as a wall hanging, you could do some really cool stuff with it.
Mm-hmm.
From an art standpoint.
Yeah.
And as a former art major, that's where my head goes. Is
yeah.
You know, so.
I think that's what the main thing was, is it was more of a art.
Wearable art. Wearable art.
Yeah.
That's all it is. Yeah,
exactly.
It's not wearable everyday garment, and it's not meant to be yet, but it's just getting people to think outside the box. And I always love those opportunities where it makes you go scratch your head a little bit and go,
yeah. What are they doing over there?
Yeah. I like those though. I like those conversations. I like when we push the boundaries of the norm.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how we, as a creative group, grow, not just with technology, but the way we approach different sewing techniques or, you know, new ideas of sewing or, you know, I mean, that's how we all learn. We try new things, we push ourselves. So anyway,
well, I'm glad that you had a safe and happy trip and you're home now back to, I feel like I didn't get to talk to you the entire trip because you're,
I know,
just busy, busy,
it's
busy.
Long days. It's like breakfast is at 7 a.m. and I don't go to bed till 10 p.m. back in my room. Yeah, so very long days on my feet. And after being social all day, I have to recharge my batteries. And I'm like, I'm not talking to anybody. And plus, like I said, my Wi-Fi didn't really exist and cell service was poor. So
yeah.
But it was a beautiful place. We had a beautiful time. And it's a great opportunity for me to kind of connect and get to know some of my colleagues that don't always work with me, or they're based out of their Sweden facility. Our Sweden team was here, our R&D team, so I got to know a lot of them better and spend time with them. So that was, it was great. It was fun. But I'm worn out. I'm still recovering.
And now you're taking a much needed break. So that's good.
Yeah, to do college tours. So much of a break.
Well, a little bit of mommy son time too, right?
I know it's a busy week. And when I took the time off, it wasn't to do this. It was for me to just have a week to be able to sew for myself. Because other than the challenge project and the dress for convention, which I didn't have to make, but I wanted to make, and it forced me to sew something for myself. I haven't really gotten to sew anything fun or relaxing or just crochet or do anything like that. So I kind of was like, okay, I'm going to take a week off. I'm going to need it. I need to recover. It's been go, go, go all year. And then I was like, oh, we really need to do college visits. And then those colleges kept getting further and further away. And I'm just like, okay, well, this one's like an overnight stay. And this one over here is like a 3 hours one way and then visit and 3 hours back in the day. And it's just, they're long days. So I'm hoping to get some sewing time. Mm-hmm. But if not, that's okay. Because I also took the week of Thanksgiving off.
Yes.
Well, no more college visits after this week.
You guys haven't had Thanksgiving yet, which is mind blowing.
I know, we're on different holiday schedules, but our Halloween is the same and our Christmas is the same.
Yes.
So that's all good. Well, guys, thanks for tuning in this week. We've had fun today talking about all the new stuff. Thanks for letting me share with you a little insight to like my job, which I don't always talk about. But I hope it excites you to hear some of the new things coming, the new things that are here, big or small, it all matters and it all pushes us to the next level of sewing. And that's the exciting part. So of course, always tune in to every Tuesday. We have our newsletter that comes out. So be sure you subscribe to that. So you're always in the know. And if you aren't subscribed to our YouTube channel, we'd greatly appreciate it because we are so close to hitting that 1,000 subscriber. I mean, like so stinking close.
We need 70.
We are so close. And that's a big goal for us. It's going to help us monetize our YouTube channel, just point blank with you guys. And that's going to help us continue to be able to afford to keep doing these podcasts, which we want to keep doing and you guys keep loving. So it's free to you to just click subscribe. And go leave us a comment on our videos over there. We get them all the time. We love talking to you guys over there. It's a great way to interact with our podcast and our episodes. We do longer segments over there, like sneak peek. That you may not even know what we do. So check it out. And until next Tuesday, happy sewing.
Bye.
Bye.